Good morning, everybody. If you're joining us live, this is Lizzie and Justin, and we are turning towards life. And it's a right old joy to be here and see you, Justin. Thank you. And thank you, anybody who's joining us on Facebook, or maybe you're joining us in 2027 or something, whichever timeline you're on with your listening, you're so welcome here. We gather every week. And we find things in the world that actually help us, and we talk about them together. And so, as a very simple way of saying what this wonderful practice is to us, and often we come on and we have a little pre-chat and we say, oh, yeah, this one really helped me this week, or there's something about this that I need. And Justin, thank you for being so naturally and ordinarily open to the world and all of the gifts it has in it, so that you can bring them here to us. That's what I feel like you are, always in it. And I'm really grateful for that. And so, Justin, thank you for choosing this wonderful source. And if you're new here, what happens is we alternate who chooses the source. So 1 week it's Justin and 1 week it's me, Lizzie. And we would love to hear from you. Maybe you have a source for us. We are at hello at turningtowards.life, and we'd love to hear anything from you and to learn about you and acknowledge your participation in our community. That would be wonderful. So here is our wonderful source. And Justin, maybe you want to say a few things before we get going.
Thank you, Lizzie. What a wonderful, wonderful introduction, and welcome, everyone. I'm going to just say two things aside from adding my welcome to you all who are with us. There's such always a feeling, Lizzie, for me, of being in the center of many, many, many concentric circles of conversation, that I know this conversation isn't just ours. So this is to all of you who are with us. If you find that you're benefiting from this project and this practice, this conversation, one of the ways that you can reciprocate and help us and this out is to leave us a review. Or if you listen on Apple Podcasts, reviews, particularly good ones, are really helpful ways of spreading this. The other thing you can do is you can tell people about it. If you think there are other people in the world who would benefit from being included in this, you could just send them our turningtowards.life website, or tell them how to subscribe on a podcast or something like that. And then it's one of the great joys I know for us, Lizzie, that this conversation reaches, it's a value for us, and it reaches many others. So we can all be part of helping that to happen. So thank you to all of you who are here, and to all of you who respond by spreading this and sharing this. We're very grateful. So here is our source for this week. And Lizzie, just before we came on, you were pointing out to me that maybe for the first time, I don't know, maybe the first time in all of our 306 or 7 weeks that we've done this, this is a repeat of a source that we had earlier. And it's called St. Francis and the Sow. It's a poem by Galway Connell. And you can find it always on our website and in the notes for the podcast and all of those places. And I suppose it was inevitable that we would occasionally, given that we've done this so many times, have a source that comes back. Sometimes that will be intentional, and this time it was because my record keeping didn't stretch back far enough in history to tell me that in week 44 of this project, this conversation, as he said, that's a long time ago now, we read and talked about this poem, and I'm glad it's back. We've always said that if a source came back more than once, a whole other conversation would flower from it. And I'm sure that's going to be the case this time. So this is St. Francis and the Sow by Galway Connell. The bud stands for all things, even for those things that don't flower. For everything flowers from within of self-blessing. Though sometimes it is necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on its brow of the flower and retell it in words and in touch, it is lovely until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. as St. Francis put his hand on the creased forehead of the sow and told her in words and in touch, blessings of earth on the sow. And the sow began remembering all down her thick length, from the earthen snout, all the way through the fodder and slops to the spiritual curl of the tail, from the hard spininess spiked out from the spine, down through the great broken heart, to the sheer blue milk and dreaminess spurting and shuddering from the 14 teats into the 14 mouths, sucking and blowing beneath them, the long, perfect loveliness of sow.
St. Francis and the Sow by Galway Canal. The bud stands for all things, even those things that don't flower, for everything flowers from within, of self-blessing. Though sometimes it is necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on its brow of the flower and retell it in words and in touch, its love, it is lovely until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. As St. Francis put his hand on the creased forehead of the sow and told her in words and in touch, blessings of earth on the sow, and the sow began remembering all down her thick length, from the earthen snout, all the way through the fodder and slops to the spiritual curl of the tail, from the hard spininess spiked out from the spine, down through the great broken heart, to the blue milk and dreaminess, spurting and shuddering from the 14 teats, into the 14 mouths, sucking and blowing beneath them, the long, perfect loveliness of sow.
It's so good hearing you read that, Lizzie. Thank you. I was reaching for something. I was trying to find a source for this week, and here it is. That would address a sense that I have been having in recent days of the ways in which we forget ourselves. Actually, it really started with the ways in which I forget myself. And I had one of those mornings, Lizzie, a couple of mornings ago, where I woke up in the morning and I could only find in me, when I woke up, all my deficiencies, all the things I was worried about in the world, and all the ways in which I can get sure that I'm ill-equipped to meet them. And I don't mean meeting them always in having things turn out. There's lots of things I can't make turn out, but even my capacity to be in the things that weren't turning out. But also all the, you know, practical things that I felt so overwhelmed by, and I felt so certain of my own incompetence, which is, maybe I'll come back to this. There's a particular thing for me about competence and incompetence in my own life and in my own way I've taken myself to be, and the importance of competence and looking competent and all of that, all things that I've been trying to see and work with over time. But there I was, flung into feeling very, very, very far from my own capacities. And then as I felt into it further, I could feel how, as well as feeling far from my own capacities, there were layers and layers, parts of me that had all kinds of judgments about that. You know, story upon story upon story about what it meant to be someone who was so incompetent at ordinary holding a life together and dealing with the future, and what that would mean. And as I sat with it for a while, and it was, I'm sure many of us experience this some of the time, or many of us experience this a lot of the time, it came to me that was really a kind of forgetfulness. Like, in a way, what had happened is I'd forgotten some really basic truths about being a person and being alive and being here. And some of those basic truths were so beautifully expressed in Galway Canal's poem, particularly where he writes about how we all flower from within of self-blessing, except sometimes we need to be retaught it. maybe by ourselves and maybe by others, and that what it is to be alive is to be lovely. I mean, we can be lots of other things too, I know. We can be beastly to ourselves and to one another, but underneath all of that is something so precious and so extraordinary and so beautiful. And maybe a lot of our beastliness, our difficulty with one another, comes from exactly the kind of forgetfulness that I'm talking about. So we need to be, it really helps to find out how to self-bless, how to remember, and it really helps how to have people around us who will remind us of something true, not as a kind of there covering up something, but proper seeing, like really properly seeing the goodness and the capacity that is always there underneath all of our worries and forgetfulness and all of that. And who will also see that to be alive is like the sow who St. Francis puts his hand on her forehead, is to be brokenhearted. Because our lives are always so far from what we can imagine, and what we can, this condition of being far from what we imagine we might be able to reach for is just the ordinary condition, and it's heartbreaking.
Yeah. My goodness, it's very moving hearing you speak, Justin, and so much recognition in me of the feeling of this word you're using, incompetence, of feeling like I'm not up to meeting the challenge. And often for me that happens like as a futurizing thing of like, oh no, I'm never going to be able to do that thing that's coming. And it feels really important to acknowledge ourselves even in the tenderness of that. You know, like you're saying, if the brokenheartedness is the ordinary condition, maybe this feeling incompetent is the ordinary condition of life. And that beneath all of it is this loveliness. And the thing that really moves me about this poem as well, that he says that it's sometimes necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness. So in that line, I'm feeling the re of the reteach, as in somewhere inside us we know this. Sometimes somewhere inside us we know our loveliness, and as you're saying, it can get obscured so very, very easily. It's so delicate, the whether we can see it or not. And it's also not like a direction of cultural normalness to appreciate one's loveliness in the face of difficult things. I think, you know, just as you brought this poem this morning, I thought, how many people really talk about this in the world? Our collective, individual, normal loveliness, and how powerful that is. And I know in my life that the people who always reteach me my loveliness are the ones who I just feel really, 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 really grateful for, because it feels like the most powerful thing that they could be doing for me is to see me. And there's a kind of, I guess, some kind of cycle of the more I can bring that feeling of incompetence or not being able to meet life and how I should be or something, or doing something properly, or my thing, Justin, is like I continually feel half-baked. You know, I'm like, oh, I never got to the end of that, or I never did that thoroughly enough. And then when people meet that part of me, the half-baked part of me, with humor or appreciation for what I did manage to get done, or seeing all the other things of me that are just nothing to do with the getting things achieved perfectly or something, then I feel remembered to myself. I feel like reconnected to myself because someone else helped me do that. And sometimes, maybe as in this week, it's as you did, sounds to me, Justin, is that you reached for something more sensible than your own thoughts, which was this poem. And that really helped you. And this poem kind of retaught you your loveliness in some way. And so I think it's sometimes hard to do that, though. Like, it's hard to remember when we're not remembering ourselves. It's hard to remember the things that would help us remember ourselves. That's how I experience it. And so those relationships that enable me, without me asking even, you know, without me needing something, but the relationships that have me feel reconnected back in again to my loveliness, seem like the kind of gold, the gold dust of my life. And of course, all that's happening is some kind of reminder that reconnects me to my own remembering of my own self-blessing. And then I get thrown into this like huge mystery of what on earth is going on between us human beings, that we could do that for one another, that we could be people who see each other. Like, what even is that? Like, to be recognized as our loveliness by other human beings, then that's possible. And that's what we could go around doing. I mean, when you were reading this, Justin, I was thinking, my gosh, maybe this is like our collective purpose or something. What if the world was filled with people who were reteaching people and themselves this loveliness? What if we could go around with that implicit understanding of humanness, that that's what the deal is here? And that's what we're doing through seeing one another and bringing those lovelinesses to the light with our words and our touch, like this poem tells us, and our actions and our intentions and all of the things that add up to who we are and how we are with people. What an amazing orientation to life, that that's what we might be up to, and that it's possible, that that's what humanness is. Like, that's the thing that really gets me, is that that's one of the ordinary everyday possibilities that a human being has.
It's interesting, as you're talking, I can feel my deep commitment to this. Actually, just being with you, Lizzie, sitting here looking at you, being in this conversation, feeling how good it is to be together and to be alive and to be talking and feeling and connecting and responding and to be here doing this with you, is such a reminder for me of all of this, of the inherent miraculousness of being a feeling, thinking, loving, relating being like I am and you are. And yet at the same time, I notice, as when you're talking about all this, I can feel the parts of me that I think have been trained by our wider culture to object and to go, well, that would be just soft and the world would fall apart if we weren't really critical of ourselves and everyone else all the time. And I think that's a bit of cultural conditioning. I don't think it's the true estate of things. And I know that our critical faculties are really important. If you behave towards me in a way which is hurtful, or I behave in a way towards you which is hurtful, we really ought to talk about it and name it and be truthful about it. But the sort of the background cultural assumption that we should not trust that underneath whatever wonderful or terrible way of acting in the world we find ourselves in, that we should discount that there might be a very profound kind of goodness and beauty in being a human. I think that's the cultural background. And I'm thinking about how often we've often talked about education, and we've often talked about advertising, and those sort of both seem very present for me at the moment, is how rarely in our wider education systems any of us really get seen. So we might get criticized for doing badly or behaving badly, or we might get rewarded for getting good exam results, or we might in a sort of very superficial way be told you're all wonderful. But I don't think that's what this is. I don't think this is this that St. Francis is doing with the Sao and the Galway Canal is inviting us to do is what you just said, which is really seeing one another. And in order to be able to really see one another, I need to be able to say to you, Lizzie, something more with more depth than you're just lovely. I like being with you. I need to be able to say something very, very specific about your courage and the deep care and wisdom that you are in the world. And I need to be able to give you examples of it. It's not enough. Mm. It's not enough just to do something. The superficial criticism or the superficial, that's just a kind of turning away. There's something really particular and important here, which is seeing you and seeing you maybe as if for the first time, every time I'm with you, being prepared to really look and really feel and really receive and then accurately name in myself for you and for me who you are. And I think that's almost, it's incredibly important, precious kind of attentiveness to one another. And I think it's almost entirely absent from our wider culture, both in our education system that veers between harsh criticism or superficial, everyone's great. And then I was thinking about walking into our local chemist the other day and there was a display of, you know, suntan lotions and it said, just for you. And I thought, that's not just for me, that's for everyone. You've just, by saying it's just for me, you've done the thing of completely obliterating my own particularity. It's a lie that it's just for me. And when I sit on the tube and I see adverts for, you know, whatever it is, and they are promising me a life which is somehow, if I buy this product, I'll get a life, an experience that will turn me into a certain person, that somehow that's always away. It's got nothing to do with me. So maybe, you know, what I'm finding my way into, there's a sort of absence in our culture of particular close in loving attention in which we see one another and name one another and are truthful with one another, including and perhaps primarily being truthful about the kind of good, particular and accurate about the kind of goodness we each are in the world. That's the thing that we're starved of. And it's why we forget even our own self-blessing. We forget it because many of us swim in a sea of this kind of paying attention, receiving, and naming for one another.
Yeah. And Justine, you mentioned advertising and education. And I also think I hear so many times when people talk about the way that they're parenting their children. It's like, well, if I'm not harsh and critical here, I'm not going to prepare my child for the world. And so that's what I have to be in our home and in our relationships. And I feel very, very fortunate to have seen parents, including you, Justin, with older children than I have, having parented their children from this perspective of a continual, ongoing, beautiful practice of continually reteaching our children their loveliness and having that be our source of power as a parent rather than some kind of, I don't know, forcing them into the world or preparing them or making them independent when they're probably not ready or whatever those dynamics are. And of course I have all the parts of me that are the same as I have to prepare you for the world because the world's a difficult place. But increasingly I can see that, oh gosh, how do I say this? Like in the story of reteaching loveliness to one another, what I think of as the world out there, my perception of that also changes too. So it's not like, oh, I'm going to teach you your loveliness and I still think the world is really difficult and messed up and, you know, we all need to be prepared for it at some point kind of thing. That seems to shift at the same time as I shift my orientation towards loveliness. And I would say for me, it's like a continual requirement of undoing, though, that has to happen in me, undoing questioning and inquiry as to who I'm being in the world and how that connects with how the world presents itself to me. My world presents itself to me, the places I go and the people I meet and the things I do. I feel like if I'm in the business of reteaching myself and the ones closest to me and around me their loveliness, that doesn't stop at the front door, if you know what I mean. That becomes me, and then the world shifts, because that's, everything is made of humans. You know, everything is made of human beings doing things, like you're saying, having language, taking action, saying specific things. And if I can be in relationship to the world, i.e. all the people in it, in this way more and more, and by the way, I fail a lot at it, but my, this is like, as we're talking about it, I can also feel my commitment to it and my intention to live like this. I feel like there's possibility in the whole system being changed by it as well. Like, it feels powerful to me to be in relationship to the world in this particular way, and then bring it right home as well. Like, let the people closest to me be the people who benefit from this inquiry of loveliness, and see where that faithful path leaves us. And as I said, I thankfully have people further along the path for me in lots and lots of ways that I can see that if we do this, what flowers, it really is this withinness, this self-blessing from within. So it's really beautiful.
I can see, Lizzie, that we are at the time that we probably need to finish this conversation. We're at the time to finish the conversation anyway, by timing. There's so much more to say about this. But I want to thank you for being here and being part of this so faithfully always. And I want to walk away from the conversation this morning with a sense of what would happen if we all walked into the world with our courage and our wisdom and our love and our generosity and our integrity and our sincerity and all of those qualities intact. If we knew about them and brought them into the world, what kind of world that would make, which I think is what we're talking about here. But thank you, Lizzie. And as always, and thank you everyone for being with us. And if there's anything else you want to say, Lizzie, I'm going to say thank you to everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you so much, Justin. And I'm just about to go and reteach a little girl her loveliness right now.
Okay, everyone.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Next week. Bye.